Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number two of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Mike Palm here inside fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada's Circus Sports here. And Mike, we got a lot to get to here in this hour. Wes Reynolds is going to join us. If you missed hour number one, you might have missed me and Mike's conversation with the man of the hour, Michael Lombardi, who's en route right now as we speak down to Chapel Hill. Of course, the big news of the day yesterday, not only Bill Belichick becoming the new head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels, but he's taking our GM here from VSiN. Michael Lombardi will be rejoining Bill at Chapel Hill. So we're going to play some of that conversation that we had from Michael in hour number one. That's going to come up a little bit later on in this hour. But we do have, if you can believe it, Michael and I talk about it all the time. You blink, and it's week 15 of the NFL season. I mean, here we are into the final 4 weeks, and down the stretch they come. If there's any visions of grandeur for both the Rams and the Niners, you would think tonight's game here in Santa Clara would be paramount to possibly winning the West. Mike Palm, you said in hour number one, it's a one-bid league, right? To use a college division. Basketball parlance.
I was gonna say division for right? NFL, but really it is. Unless, I mean, you would have to have the Commanders falter mightily down the stretch.
Because that's who you're trying to run down as a wild card.
That's the last wild card, right?
Right. And I don't see that. That's an 8-win team right now.
I'm plugging in the Vikings and the Packers as two of the wild cards. The North to get three.
Right.
I think
Vikings are what? They're an 11-win team. They're not.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
It's unbelievable that we don't even talk about.
We talk about KOC for Coach of the Year.
No, you can't do that.
No. He's got Darnold. Why would he be coach of the year? Right. And an awful defense. I mean, that secondary is awful.
And yet they just win 11 games. Yeah. Niners would love to have those type of problems, but their problems really have cemented and been cemented around their injuries, right? So again, nobody's going to cry for San Francisco because everybody's got injuries. But when you have them to where they've had them, no Trent Williams again tonight in this matchup. Mike, I'm a little surprised that here at Circa and pretty much market wide, it's up to 2.5 all week here, but it's up to 3 tonight. And that total right now, about 49.5, pretty high total here for Thursday Night Football. What do you make of those subtle moves towards the over and towards the Niners?
Yeah, I was just looking at our need here at Circa. We have a much bigger need on the total than the side right now. And 85-90% of the money isn't in yet. It will come in the last 30 to 45 minutes before kickoff. Mm. But this total, we did open 47 up to 49. So we need under is the bigger decision for us here. And you think about the Rams in the high scoring game they played against the Bills, and you think about the 49ers and their productivity.
Yep.
This is a division game with a lot more familiarity. Teams have had multiple opportunities to defend the current sets that they have on the offensive side of the ball. I haven't done it yet, but I'm almost going to be forced to take the 3 in this spot. It's a big game for the Rams. They go to the Jets next week. Winnable game, and then they close with two division games at home. I mean, they're live. You could have got them before the Bill game at North, the 10-1 to win the division. And Seattle's got some tough games ahead. I think Arizona's the team that's out right now, but this very well could be an elimination game for the playoffs.
Arizona,
tonight.
By the way, 7-1, I believe, right now to win the division. You get double digits still here in the Niners for San Francisco. And by the way, they still have Detroit on their schedule too. And again, you can get it now 9-1. So Arizona's drifted even from the 18-1 in the Niners. I mean, look, could they really go 4-0 down the stretch with this walking wounded that they have and then still need help? Because when you look at the adjusted win totals here for the Rams and Seahawks, those are sitting at 9.5. So San Francisco can't get to 10. So you have to do that implicit math to say, all right, their adjusted win total is 7.5. But if you want to play the 18-1, that means San Francisco's got to get to 9-8 and get help. That doesn't seem probable to me.
And they go to Miami next week. before hosting Detroit. And meanwhile, Dan Campbell like has an axe to grind with every team, right? I mean, he's
he does.
It's unbelievable. I mean, he calls he reports a tackle eligible in Dallas before he takes the knee. I mean, it's he's got a long book of things. And blowing that game at Levi Stadium in the NFC Championship game is certainly on their list and a circled game for them. So they've got a tough road to hoe. I think it's an elimination game, at least for the 49ers tonight if they don't win.
The Rams are the proverbial team you don't want to play if they get in, plus $1.60 right now to win the division. I don't know that I'd take them in the wild card because I think you're right. This is going to be a one-bid league, if you will, for college basketball parlance. But if they were to win this division, and when you do have Puka Nacua playing at an unreal level, I didn't realize what a difference he made when he was injured and when he comes back. And then Cooper Kupp now is your number two, your clear number two. Now that's a pretty damn good 1-2.
Because he has a cute name with vowels on the end of both. You know, he's a big physical.
It was a low pick. Yeah, right? Nobody really talked about Puka coming out.
He's amazing. Let's not forget they gave Detroit everything they wanted and at Detroit in the playoffs last year.
And should have won week one at Detroit this year and gave that game away in overtime.
I mean, so they're going to be a dangerous. I was thinking back at the NFC playoffs last year.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Every game was a great game in the NFC playoffs last year. Tampa Bay at Detroit was a great game in the divisional round.
With the exception of one.
Packers at San Francisco. Detroit at San Francisco. They were incredible games.
And they could have been flipped.
Either way. Well, a lot of games the other team should have won. So, I'm gonna have to get this into the portfolio here before I lose the three because obviously it's not going to 3.5.
No.
You're never going to get 3.5.
So if you want the Rams, you better grab those three
now. Grab the three.
Because if anything, it goes back down to 2.5 before kick, right? By the way, if you're looking to bet smarter, we talk about it all the time here in the network. Got you covered here. A great holiday gift for you and yours. You sign up for the holiday special today. You're going to get VSiN Pro access. Everything we do through May 1st, Mike Palm. $79. So you're going to get expert picks for every major sport, top VSiN experts leaderboard, exclusive betting splits. All you got to do is go to VSiN.com/subscribe. It is a limited time offer. So we stress that here through the holidays, people, but you're going to get everything you need to help make you a better through May 1st here on the network. I do want to get to our game of the week. It goes into Detroit and it's where the Bills will play the Lions.
This is the Lombardi Line Game of the Week, presented by Lowe's. Here's Michael Lombardi.
All right, again, Michael and I have been talking about this game all week here on the Lombardi Line, Mike Palm, and the Lions sitting at 2.5. It was interesting to see some of these line moves, the way it's gone, down to 2 in some spots. 3s early, those got gobbled up. I saw 1.5, so the number's been on the move as the week has gone. Also, the total has gone way up to 54.5 is what we're seeing defensively. I know because when you talk about these teams, Mike, what do you talk about? You talk about offense, right? But defensively, who would you give the edge to? Because Aaron Glenn, I think, has done a really good job, obviously, with the MASH unit. No Anzalone, right? And we know Hutchinson's not walking through that door. Yet they seemingly haven't missed a beat. Maybe not as dominant as they could have been at the beginning of the year. And then you get Sean McDermott, who's the head coach, but really the DC as well. What do you make of the defensive sides of the ball?
A great question, Dave. I'm not sure that the right team is favored here. This is a MASH unit, as you referenced, with Detroit. They've got a lot of injuries in that secondary and on the defensive side of the ball. If the Bills don't lose at SoFi last week, this game is not 2.5. It's not two. It's pick, right?
Yep.
There's a lot of implications here as far as seeding in the playoffs. I think the Bills need to win to keep the pressure on the Chiefs. Because remember, if they can tie the Chiefs, they won the heads up. They could get the one seed, and you might make Kansas City have to go to Buffalo, although we saw they did win in Buffalo last year. But the Buffalo had the ball 3 times in the fourth quarter with a chance to win that game again. I'm going to give the edge on the defensive side of the ball to the Buffalo Bills.
Ooh. I look at it, too, and I say, you know, they didn't have any turnovers last week in that Rams game or turn it over in the 6-touchdown performance by Josh Allen. But they did have the blocked punt that I think people have forgotten about. That really is essentially a turnover, obviously. And it really kind of moved them behind the chains, if you will, for the rest of the game. And they weren't able to overcome it. Is this that type of game that if a defense, whatever side, can cause and force a turnover might give them that extra possession, which could be the difference in the game?
Well, it's interesting because Detroit's played from in front all year, right? Which leads them to run the ball and that play action game, which Goff is so good at.
Yep.
If you get them behind, can you make them more one-dimensional? Because when they can run the ball, they're almost unstoppable. Mm. He has one thing. They don't drop the ball. The Lions do not drop the ball. They lead the league least drops, right? And he has so many easy throws. That's why the ball never hits the ground, right? It's either an interception or completion.
Right.
Because those little throws over the middle 8 yards when they have that running game going, it's almost impossible to defend. So you make a good point about, can you get to the front and make the Lions one-dimensional? We haven't seen teams be able to do that this year.
We haven't. I'll throw this out there, too, and I mentioned this on the network this time last year. I'd said then that if you liked Baltimore, if you remember going into that second to last week of the season, the second betting choice for MVP was Lamar Jackson. Lamar was about plus 475, 450 in the marketplace going to San Francisco to take on the then front runner in Brock Purdy. And I said, well, if you like the Ravens, who are about plus 225 to win the game in the money line that day, you should play Lamar for MVP. Could I entice you on Jared Goff at 10-1 in kind of the same situation that if you think Detroit can win this game and win it handily, Josh Allen's minus $4. Could there be any value if you kind of redirect the narrative if Goff has a monster game?
So here's why I say no. Because remember, Purdy threw four interceptions in that game.
Yep.
And it drew a line through him. He went from being minus $2 to
gone.
40-1 or whatever.
Right.
I don't know that voters get out of their head the five interception game on Sunday Night Football against Houston.
I wrote him off after that.
I have. And so I haven't gotten myself back into it. I do think it's a two-horse race. I think the odds are reflective of it. I still think Saquon's got value at plus 450.
Mm.
He's made such a difference to that team. But when you look at, and if we were doing Pressing 3 today, my opening question was going to be about the Eagles and Joystick Kellen Moore. Do you know they've scored 14 points in the first quarter in 13 games?
Well, not good.
If you go back to 2000, all the teams' records, their 1.3 points per first quarter is 790 out of 794 teams.
Oh,
They're abysmal in the first quarters of games.
Would not have expected that. Because they used to be so good in the Super Bowl run.
Hurts' sack rate of 9% is the highest of his career and the fourth highest in the league this year.
That is the Lombardi Line Game of the Week. It's the Bills and the Lions in the Motor City. Okay, when we come back, in case you missed it, Mike Palm and I caught up with the man of the hour, Michael Lombardi. We'll hear about his new role at UNC. That's next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue the Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line here at Circus Sports. Dave Ross and Mike Palm in today because Michael Lombardi is en route as we speak right now down to Chapel Hill. Of course, the big news here, not just here in the network, but really it's dominating the football conversation. Bill Belichick, the new head coach of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And he's bringing our own Michael Lombardi in with him as really the first, if you will, GM in college football. Mike and I had the good fortune of catching up with Michael in hour number one to get his thoughts. Mike, what a treat. We've got the man of the hour right now getting ready to get down there to Chapel Hill. Michael Lombardi joins the program now. Follow him on X as I do at M Lombardi NFL. And now we can say for the first time, the new GM of UNC football. Michael, congratulations. I know it's got to be a whirlwind for you in the last 24 hours. Can you tell us just how everything unfolded yesterday once the news became official that Bill Belichick was taking over at UNC?
Well, thank you, Dave. It's certainly a pleasure to be here. And I want to thank everybody at VSiN who has been listening to the Lombardi Line, listened to GM Shuffle, and has made me really thankful for the job that I have, and especially the Musburger family and Bill AD. They've been incredible to me. But this came together because Bill wanted to go back to college. I think if you read the David Halberstam book, Education of a Coach, Halberstam predicted that one day Belichick would go back to college football because he values teaching so much. And I think the landscape of college football has changed dramatically in the sense that it is pay for play. And, you know, you've got to evaluate the players on the roster. You've got to put a dollar sign on the player. And then you've got to be able to motivate and coach within the framework of monetary compensation. So, you know, for me and my relationship with Coach Belichick, once he decided he wanted to do this, and then he asked me if I wanted to do it, then, you know, I thought, why not? This is the perfect time, the perfect setting. And for my wife and I to go back down there and enjoy, you know, college football in the most incredible, incredible little town that is going to be a football town in the future.
Michael, congratulations as well from me. You know, our relationship has been a lot over the past years, and I thank you for that and wish you success. You've talked about how the role and how college football landscape has changed to resemble the pros. Speak to me about how it will be different from what you did as a player personnel person and a GM in the NFL to what you will do as this new GM position in Division I college football.
Not much, Mike. I think we're going to build a pro. We're going to build a pro personnel department, and that pro personnel department really will be the transfer portal. So that will be what we build there to monitor all the college teams, whether it's in the ACC, the Big Ten, the Southeast Conference, or in any conference, right? The new Pac-12. So you have to monitor all the players just like you would in pro football. And then obviously you'll have a director of college scouting, but that guy will be the director of high school scouting and monitor all the high schools. North Carolina has a great fan base. They have a tremendous recruiting area in the Tidewater area in Virginia. They haven't been into Florida as much in recent years, but there has been a time where they were very good in that state. So we're going to try to expand it to a national program, which it should be. I mean, when you mention North Carolina, that brand is significant. It may be associated with basketball, but we're going to bring that brand out on a national level. We've had two quarterbacks drafted in the first pick in the first round, Mitchell Trubisky and Drake May. And so it has an appeal to quarterbacks, and we're going to continue that along with having a pro style offense. So, you know, I think the job's going to stay pretty much like it was. We're just going to reframe the name of the job, but it's going to be pretty much the same, and it's going to be 24/7. The difference will be there's no structure, right? We won't have a draft, and there'll be deadlines in terms of the portal, but we can work around that.
You know, we couldn't be more thrilled for Michael, obviously becoming the new GM at North Carolina. You can hear the excitement in his voice, right, Mike? Like, this is, you don't get these opportunities in life very often where you've got the 6-time Super Bowl champion head coach going to college football at North Carolina, and Michael Lombardi gets to go, and day one, they're going to have a press conference today. He's en route. I mean, this really is, we talk about like VSiN being cutting edge in sports gambling, becoming a network that had never been done before. This is kind of that in college football. Yes, we've seen coaches go from college to pro and some vice versa, but never in the new landscape of college football, right? We haven't seen this before.
Listen, Dave, I'm happy for him and Millie and their new situation in that beautiful little town. But I put 3 years of my life into the pressing three, and I just get the rug pulled out from under me.
I mean, let's think about the pressing three here,
it's
America.
Too, it's too soon. No, it's going to be a great experiment that we're going to get to watch in this bubble, right? And how this goes, and maybe it has ripple effects if Bill and Michael are able to turn this into a playoff caliber program, an ACC championship program. And now does the blueprint that comes from the pros now trickle its way down to college at a wider level? But it's going to be a grand experiment, and one that's going to be really fun to watch and really fun to bet.
It will be. But I think you nailed it, that this is an experiment, right? We do not know if it's going to be successful. We're all rooting for it to be successful, obviously on personal levels here at the network. But if it is successful right away, then you could see that reverse poaching start to happen. And they go, you know, I'll just throw it in. Mike McCarthy, why don't you go? Like, you could start looking at coaches that maybe you think their time is expired in the NFL, and then somehow they go down to college. It will be a grand experiment. And again, over, by the way, is set at 6.5. Look at the juice. Minus $1.70.
Do we have their schedule next year, Elliot? Goodness.
I mean, that is fascinating to me that we are already saying, yes, year one, book Carolina for 7 wins in the ACC. Look, the ACC was down, but yet they still do get 2 teams in the college football playoff. So really, Mike, how down is the conference if you can get an SMU and a Clemson in to the field of 12?
One of our loyal followers here at VSiN, Trip Tepper, also a loyal follower of Gil's podcast, Beating the Book, he always commented every week, said Indiana has the blueprint for you and see his tweet. Hoosiers spent $13 million in NIL and combined with the soft schedule, went 11-1, made the playoffs. Heels can do the same with a very manageable schedule and an alleged $20 million in nil money.
$20 million in nil money. This is just the Wild Wild West, but now it's the Wild Wild South down there in North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
What'd all that nil money get Mario Cristobal?
Not a whole hell of a lot.
How about Texas A&M?
outside looking in. By the way, down there in Carolina, do you know what they're known for? Come on. Sweet tea, barbecue.
Sweet tea.
And sweet barbecue.
It is, though. It's a sweet barbecue that they're known for.
I hope Michael's ready. Because if you get Sewell's Barbecue, and I'm sure he will, you can elevate your tailgate game. You got to try it. Sewell's Barbecue, born from a backyard cookout in a mason jar of unforgettable flavor, Sewell's has become a Southern favorite, lighting up the taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. So from ribs and wings to backyard burgers, Sewell's takes every bite to the very next level. You can order online at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. That's SEWELLS barbecue sauce.com. And again, as somebody from the Tidewater area that Michael referenced in our conversation, you know, we kid about this, but this is, you mentioned it too. You got some Northerners going down south. When I started working down in North Carolina many moons ago, I was covering a Garner High School. It's right outside the Raleigh area where Michael would be going. And the day one that I walked in there and I just spoke to the new head coach, he said, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Virginia Beach." He said, "Nah, before that." I said, "New York." "Yep. I could tell it was a Yankee." Like, they know when you're coming from the north down south down there. So I got an education very quickly on how different it
Where
is.
Where did you spend your formative years, though? It's from age 8 to 18.
Right. Virginia Beach.
All right.
So I'm a Virginia
Mid-Atlantic.
Beach. Right.
Mid-Atlantic.
Syracuse, the first 10. Yeah. That's where that love comes. Then we moved down south. I learned very quickly the differences, and Michael's going to learn those quickly as well. By the way, big news in the NFL, too. We'll find out if it's big news. Justin Herbert didn't practice. Michael and I, we talk about this all the time, whether or not you're practicing on a Wednesday versus a Thursday can be a big difference. But, you know, with that loss last week, the heartbreaking fashion to the Chiefs, Chiefs wrap up the division with that win. Chargers now 3-point favorites here at home this week. What do you make of that news of Herbert? Because, boy, without Herbert, they don't seem like they have a semblance of an offense. Even with him, it's tough to score right now for the Chargers.
Yeah, he took a hellacious hit to the rib cage. And I wasn't sure he was going to come back in the game against Kansas City on Sunday night, to be honest with you. No, the experiment without Herbert, although it wasn't with Harbaugh, right, has been a complete failure. And the offense does struggle at times, even with him in there.
Yeah.
But they did play well in the second half against Kansas City. Look, I bet I have the Bucs to make the playoffs at plus 270.
Wow. How good does that ticket look?
Well, I'm thinking maybe I take a little Chargers
hedge
here in this game, right? Because Atlanta's fallen apart, and now I wish I'd have bet him to win the division, but I bet him to backdoor maybe a wild card.
Double chance,
yeah. I like the Bucs a lot. You think about this team, Dave, and if you base it on results, they're the only team that's beaten Detroit. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, on Monday night they took the Chiefs to overtime. And we say close calls for everybody, but they're the only ones to take the Chiefs to overtime so far this year in Arrowhead on a rainy Monday night, where I thought Bowles might have gone for two at the end of that game to win it, rather than going against Mahomes in overtime is almost impossible.
But I will say this. I'm glad you brought up Bowles, because I don't think he gets talked about enough. I think he's done a remarkable job.
He's done a great job.
With the injuries, Godwin out for the year. You lost Evans for a significant chunk. You figured out a running game that they didn't have in the Brady era. Yeah, I don't think he gets enough credit for what he's doing down there, but I'm kind of with you. I kind of lean towards the Chargers laying that 3. When we come back, Wes Reynolds will join the program next. We'll get his expertise for week 15 and beyond. That's next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are back in the Thursday edition here of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross, Mike Palm here at Circus Sports, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. I don't know your thoughts yet on the college football playoff, who you like, but I know who I'm kind of rooting for. It's for our next guest, Wes Reynolds, the great Wes Reynolds, joins us now here in the Progressive Guest Line. Of course, does a great job in the network, but is also, can we call it, Wes, you're rooting for Indiana, your alma mater. Why wouldn't you be? How excited are you that in year one of the college football playoff, your alma mater is one of the 12 left standing?
Well, Dave, I appreciate your support, because we're going to need all the support we can get in South Bend next Friday night. Look, it's still surreal. It actually does not feel real because of the 40-plus years, we'll call it, of Indiana football that I have watched in person as a student and as an alum. It's not been pretty. It has absolutely not been pretty. And you haven't won a bowl game since 1991. That was the Copper Bowl. The last bowl we won doesn't even exist anymore. The Copper Bowl in 1991. So, you know, just we're happy to be there. Like a lot of the Notre Dame fans and a lot of fans don't want us there, but it's like, we're just happy to be there. We're happy to be invited to the party, but still going to go play that game up in South Bend and just see how we do, just for you know what's and giggles here.
Wes, are you concerned that the bright lights in this setting might be a bit much for the Hoosiers, especially early in this game? I just say they went to the Shoe, and look, from the line of scrimmage they played with Ohio State, they had two bad special teams plays and could not handle the blitz at all. Notre Dame's got a terrific secondary. I think a lot of this comes down to how successful can Indiana be running the football. But we saw SMU in the ACC title game. The bright lights of the first half, and boom, you find yourself down 17. How much concerned are you about the first half of this game?
Yeah, Mike, I think it's a fair concern. But if you go back to that Ohio State, actually Indiana got off to the good start, and it was Ohio State that was nervous, had the 7-0 lead. And then all of a sudden they just started making mistakes, as you mentioned, with the botched, not really the botched snap. It was really the punter dropping the ball. And that gives Ohio State the ball on the 7-yard line. They go right in and score. And then it's 14-7 going into the locker room. And yeah, you know, I think it was just a team that made mistakes. And maybe it was the fact that they had not had one of those arduous road tests, because I went out and watched them in the Rose Bowl against UCLA. There was a lot of Indiana people. There were a lot of empty seats. So, you know, that wasn't really a road test. Neither was the test at Michigan State. But I think this time around, they're going to be a little bit more prepared. And I would expect that actually they're going to play a little bit more loose than Notre Dame is going to be. I think the pressure's all on Notre Dame here. The expectations are there. There are people and smart people picking them to go all the way through and get to at least the national championship game, because the draw, quite frankly, sets up for them. You beat Indiana, you go play Georgia in the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. Georgia may or may not be without Carson Beck. It may be the kid Stockton that's going to be quarterback for them. So I think Notre Dame's really got to like their chances. In fact, the look-ahead lines, they've been favored against Georgia. So the path is clear for Notre Dame, but Indiana standing in their way, but they've got to clean a lot of stuff up, like you mentioned. Running backs didn't pick up the blitzes, special teams errors. Really, the offensive line, I thought, got controlled. I thought the defensive line held up very nicely against Ohio State. Before that last run near the end of the game where Ryan Day tacked one on there at the end, Travion Henderson had that 39-yard run, but before that, I think Ohio State had like 76 yards on 29 carries. So the Indiana front seven, I think, really held up against Ohio State. Now, can they do the same against Notre Dame? I think that they can. And I think that they're not going to get bullied as much at the line of scrimmage. I would expect a much better performance from Indiana this time around. And I also think Kurt Cignetti, he's kind of a little bit of an X factor here. I know that these were at lower levels, at Division II at IU Pennsylvania, at Elon, at James Madison in the FCS. But this is a guy that knows how to prepare for these playoffs. And I think, you know, has taken teams on the road, knows the schedule, knows what he has to do. I expect Indiana to come in there with some confidence going into Friday night.
Getting 7, total of 50.5. And by the way, to Wes's point here, we already have the College Football Guide. It is out now and available for you when you become a VSiN Pro subscriber. So again, every single bowl game will be broken down here. And how about this? We're going to get picks not only from Steve Mackinnon, but from the GOAT himself. Brent Musburger is going to give you a pick on every single game in the College Football Playoff. So it's a holiday special. You sign up today. Going to get everything we have through May 1st into 2025 for just $79. So again, VSiN.com/subscribe. You can get that right now, as Wes is talking about here, with the College Football Playoff, Indiana catching 7 against Notre Dame. Let's get to the NFL here, Wes, because I know you have some plays to kick off week number 15 as well. Cleveland getting 4.5 in the marketplace here against Kansas City. We know Kansas City just plays one-score games, and they traditionally win those one-score games. Is this going to be another one-score game potentially in Cleveland?
Yeah, how about 10-0, Dave, in one-score games? Wow. Are the Kansas City Chiefs this year? And I hesitate to make this comparison because you have a pedigree of a two-time defending Super Bowl champion, but the Chiefs, don't they kind of remind you a little bit of the Vikings almost 2 years ago, where they were winning like every single one score a game, and somehow, some way, whether they were against elite teams or they were against bad teams, they're finding ways to pull it out. But there are some chinks in the armor, I think, for Kansas City. They're 28th in EPA in terms of pass defense. That's expected points added, by the way. You can throw on this team. And I think the secondary is what's really struggling, and that's why you're not seeing maybe as much blitzing out of Steve Spagnuolo, who can be very blitz-happy, plays a lot of man coverage. And there's one thing that Jameis Winston is going to do. He's going to test you vertically. He's going to throw the ball down the field. Now, he's going to put it in harm's way. We saw that against Denver and saw that a little bit against Pittsburgh. But I think you've seen a more dynamic offense with Cleveland being able to throw the ball down the field. So I expect they'll get some explosives. I think Kansas City's got some real problems on offensive line. They put in DJ Humphreys to start last week against the Chargers. Then he gives up 5 pressures, has a hamstring injury, has to leave. Now you bring in Wanya Morris, who is the original starter, grades really, really low on the pass blocking grades for PFF. And, oh, by the way, you're going against Myles Garrett here. So not an easy assignment. Cleveland's out of it at 3-10, but I think this is the game. And those are the spots I like to look for, Dave. Not necessarily the teams that need to win for division or playoff consideration. I like to look at this point in the season at the teams that are out of it but still trying. I think Cleveland's going to give the max effort here, so I like the Browns plus 4.5.
Wes, there's a game this week I don't really understand the line. It's Sunday night at Lumen Field in Seattle. Seattle catching a full 3 at home to the Packers. Do you mean to tell me if this game were at Lambeau that Green Bay'd be laying 8? I don't think so. Your thoughts on Sunday night?
No, I'm with you, Mike. Seattle, if you look, since the bye week, they've been top 5 in almost all the defensive metrics, EPA per play, success rate, et cetera, et cetera. So the defense is finally getting healthier. Getting Tariq Woolen certainly helps that cause here. And I know Green Bay covered against Detroit last week, but Detroit really outplayed them. And, you know, impressive performance from the Lions to outplay a team when you were kind of in a really shaky spot a little bit here. Packers don't really get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, because I think one of the things that's held Seattle back is the offensive line. They're 23rd in pass blocking, but the Packers only 22nd in pressure rate, 26th in pass rush win rate. So Geno Smith's going to have some time, I think, when he's got a clean pocket on Sunday. And then the Packers still not having Jair Alexander back there, I think, really hurts him. I know Green Bay's got a couple of the extra days to prep off Thursday night, but Seattle is a home underdog, still one of the better home field advantages in the league. I like the Seahawks here.
Yeah, it's 4-game winning streak for Seattle. Geno's been spectacular, quiet as kept, so maybe not getting enough shine that he should. I'm not going to take this personally here, Wes, but Carolina is favored at a first time in 33 games against not my Cowboys, our Cowboys, America's team here, Wes. What do you make of this clunker down there in Carolina?
Yeah, Dave, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I wonder if Dallas, seeing the way Micah Parsons left that field on Monday night against Cincinnati, you know, you wonder how much is left for Dallas here. How much is left for these guys? They know that they're by and large out of it. And I think Carolina, that's another team I was pointing to, a team that's out of it, a team that's not very good, but they're still trying. They're trying just to get that win, and they've been so close over the last couple of weeks. Should have, you know, had it Kansas City there, should have won the overtime game against Tampa Bay. We're right there with Philadelphia with the ball last in the fourth quarter. Bryce Young's actually showing a little bit of something. I don't know if I'm a long-term believer, but he's been a lot better since his benching, and I think his guys are also rallying around him. It's like, we want to see this kid succeed. And I think the Cowboys defense could be ripe for the picking. They're giving up 8 yards an attempt. That's the third most in the league. You have to rely on that pass rush, because the secondary, I think, has been so disappointing. So I think Bryce Young's going to have an opportunity to make plays down the field. I like Carolina on the money line, for sure.
I'm not mad at you, Wes. I know you're a smart guy. And by the way, 4-9 Dallas ATS. Carolina 6-7, so Carolina's been better.
Picked against my Irish and against your Cowboys.
I mean,
thanks, Wes.
Personal,
I know, I'm
Wes.
Making friends all over the place.
Thanks for getting up early with us, my man. Again, check him out on X at WesReynolds1. When we come back, is it news or noise? That's next here in the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wrapping up this edition of the Lombardi Line here on a Thursday. Dave Ross, Mike Palm here at Circus Sports Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Again, if you missed the big news of the day, Michael Lombardi is not here today because he's en route to North Carolina right now. He's going to be the new GM of the North Carolina Tar Heels. Bill Belichick, of course, taking over a five-year contract as the new head coach at UNC. Mike and I had the good fortune of catching up with Michael in hour number one. In case you missed that conversation, VSiN.com. Download the VSiN app. You get access to the whole conversation, and it was a pretty damn good one.
It was a very good conversation. One question that I didn't ask Michael is,
what's that?
Who does the GM of a college Division I college football program report to? Now, in the pros, we know it reports to the team president.
Chancellor?
Or the owner. Does it report, in this case, to the head coach?
I would think so.
Or does it report to the AD? Or does it report to the chancellor or university? So that's an interesting question.
And my understanding was the kind of the pecking order. Bill had been talking to the chancellor, not necessarily the AD. So if that is there, then Michael's right there in that triumvirate somewhere between chancellor, Bill, and it's going to be wild. It's going to be an experiment that we haven't seen before. Again, everybody here at VSiN, we're all rooting for the success of said experiment.
I do, too. And the youth movement, too, right? Yeah. I mean, they got rid of 73-year-old Mac Brown to hire 72-year-old Bill Belichick.
Mike, as we know, age is just a number, my friend. Let's get to one of our favorite segments that we do each and every day. Is it news or is it noise?
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
Mike, this is going to be a fun one to begin because with the news of the day that Michael Lombardi is now the new GM, Bill Belichick, the new head coach at UNC. Say Virginia beats North Carolina. Rivalry, border war. And then they want to plant a flag right there at the 50-yard line at Chapel Hill. Ah, better not do that in Ohio. You know why, Mike? Because flag planting at Ohio State would be a felony under this new proposed law. This is Ohio State Rep. Josh Williams. He introduced a bill on Tuesday that would classify flag planting at Ohio Stadium around Buckeye football games as a felony. Mike Palm, is that news or noise?
If Ryan Day comes back, it should be a felony, okay, for the administration at Ohio State. What kind of a nonsense is this? Mike DeWine taking a position on this? In Cleveland, women can't wear patent leather shoes. It's a nonsense of Ohio. Noise.
Noise. It is insane that that's where we are. Like, really? You get that mad because they
beat him on the field there?
No.
Beat him. He says he's obsessed his whole life with Michigan. It's all it's about. And you lose as a 22-point favorite? Come on.
That's what our lawmakers are doing.
Move on. Everybody's longing for the halcyon days of Urban Meyer. The Buckeyes are, the Jaguars are, everyone.
You can't beat Michigan, so this is what you do? Interesting. Patrick Mahomes is a little bit upset, and I wonder if this is news or noise, because he said about the upcoming schedule, 3 games in 11 days, quote, not a good feeling. Let's hear from Patrick, and then we'll discuss if it's news or noise.
What was it like when you first saw the schedule come out to see kind of this little layout here?
Yeah, it's not like a good feeling. I mean, I'm excited to play on Christmas to hopefully get back from what we did last year. But you never want to play this many amount of games in this short of time. It's just not great for your body. But at the end of the day, it's your job, your profession. You have to come to work and do it.
Look, we always talk about it, right? Thursday Night Football. Nobody needs it, but now that we have it, it's injected into our DNA. We can't do without it. Is this just Patrick Mahomes kind of saying, you know what? We get it. It's not ideal for us either. News or noise?
Well, I think he's just speaking facts, so that's why it's not news. It's not noise in that it's irrelevant. It's relevant, but I think everybody understands that. And playing 3 games in 11 days or whatever they have to do, because they have to do the Saturday before the Wednesday, it's not ideal. But as the NFL wants to continue to expand and play on every day of the week and on every continent and in every country, I mean, these things are going to happen.
The takeover is real, people. And by the way, I can't even imagine now, as much as I say, and as Patrick's saying, we all know this isn't good for the player. It's not good for the product. But yet now we can't do without it, Mike. This is not going away. This is going to be the reality.
I think there's too many international games, Dave.
Ooh.
I you know what? I don't think it's about merchandise sales or TV. You know what I think it's about? They're trying to expand talent pools. and be able to get football programs going in these wow. other. That's what I really believe it's about, because the sacrifice. I mean, the quality of it is not great.
It's not good.
I mean, you subjected Germany to the Carolina against the New York Giants, where they want the armies to march again.
Seemed like a.
Why would you do that to that country?
World War II hangover. I don't. You know, people apparently can get in trouble on X. Apparently, I'd never.
Not
would.
You, Dave.
Not
You're
me.
Neutral. You're a neutral
I would
guy.
Never speak my mind out there on that platform. Deebo Samuel addressed a deleted post now on X, where he said a little frustrated for sure. So on Monday, Samuel had written on X, not struggling at all, just not getting the ball. Later, deleted the post, Mike, which I never delete posts. You just keep them up there, right? Added a separate one that said he was, quote, not hating on any of his teammates. Now this got to the head coach. Mike Shanahan had to address it. So let's hear from the coach and determine whether Deebo has now created news or noise.
Well, Deebo and I talk every day, so... I mean, I understand Deebo saying that. Deebo wants to help us out, and the only way he helps us out is getting the ball more, and we'd like to get it to him more, and we'll continue to work at that. Yeah, we'd always love things to stay in-house. That's probably why I don't mess with social media. I'm sure I'd get worked up and stuff, too, if I was reading stuff about myself all the time, and then I'd maybe make a tweet or something. Is it a distraction in our building? No. I mean, we've got to answer questions about it. It's the first time I've talked about it. It's right here, but... I mean, Deebo and I see each other every day and talk about stuff every day. So my advice is to not let outside frustrate you, because just answering those things isn't going to help you in any way. Usually only hurts you. But as far as like what we deal with in our relationships and our team, it's water under the bridge.
Okay. Kyle, at the beginning, I thought he handled it perfectly. And then it was almost like he doth protest too much. What'd you make of that? News or noise?
Well, first of all, Kyle Shanahan is another coordinator that's been put into a head coach's position here, and you see how he's handled this. You know what's the news that doesn't get reported?
What?
That Jefferson and Addison don't say a word in Minnesota when they don't get the ball.
Oh. No diva.
There's no diva. They don't care as long as they're winning. They're 11-2. They don't say a word. But in Philadelphia, we're complaining.
Oh,
AJ Brown, Malik Neighbors. It's not me. I didn't put the plane out there. You got diva. I mean, every wide receiver that doesn't get a pass thrown to on the first drive. I mean, that should be the new thing. The greatest bet in sports is, will they get a reception on the first drive? Because they all demand to get thrown the ball immediately in the game.
Throw the screen pass.
I didn't get thrown until the final two minutes of the half. How about this? Nobody's talking about Jefferson. Didn't catch a touchdown for 6 straight games. Has not said a word because they're winning, and that's what he cares about.
Did you answer the question?
I didn't know.
This is very interesting to me. I'll find out if you think it's news or noise. The NFL is considering expanding replay to assist on face mask potentials after the fouls might have been inflicted. So, like, if you remember the Thursday night game, Sam Darnold got his head spun around against the Rams, they somehow missed it. Is that news or noise?
If they can do these expedited reviews in 30 seconds, why wouldn't you review everything?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you have to set some parameters.
Sure.
But like these turnovers, whether it's a catch or not, a fumble, and they're doing this in 20 seconds and coming right back with it. It's not slowing the game down. Obviously, we've had missed face mask calls have been major news and changed
goodness.
Results of games.
Yes.
So I'm in favor. What the only thing I can't stand is in the last 2 minutes of a basketball game, there's going to be 15. Every time the ball goes out of bounds, it's this. I mean, it's ridiculous. You can't do that. It ruins the last 2 minutes of basketball.
If you keep it moving in the NFL, I'm for
it. Keep
it
moving. You have to keep it moving.
These are game-changing calls, potentially.
Yes.
I'm with Troy Vincent, the NFLPA. So that feels like news to us. By the way, it's time for our best bet of the day. It's sponsored by GBank, of course, here at VSiN, the official bank of VSiN. We got Thursday night football tonight, up to 3 here at Circa. Niners now, it was 2.5 most of the week, up to 3. High total here. You guys are looking for the under here, Mike. What style of game do you think we get tonight?
Well, I think both teams are going to play relatively conservatively in an elimination game.
They can't go
right.
They've got to play
stay
close
in
to the
game.
Best. Yes,
I think so. 49ers are the walking wounded here. I think the Rams are well aware they're in kind of a flat spot, although it's a rival coming off a big high.
Yep.
Going on the road. McVay's really good with the script coming out of the game and out of the second half here. I like the points in this game, plus three here with the Rams.
And that high total 49 looking for clock.
I lean under.
Yeah, I do too.
I would lean under in that spot.
Yeah, it feels like that's the side I'd want to be on as well. By the way, VEASAN recommends that every bettor make the GBank Visa Signature Card their part of their betting toolbox. Save up to 3-5% on cash advance fees, earn cashback rewards and eligible betting transactions. And now for a limited time, you're going to get a $250 bonus when you open your account and spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at VEASAN.com/GBank. That's VEASAN.com/GBank. Take advantage of this $250 bonus for a limited time from our friends at GBank, the official bank of VEASAN, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. Mike, thanks for hopping in, man. It's been
incredible.
A blast.
Job with all the reads, Dave. You're a true pro.
We got to sneak him in.
Thanks to Michael Lombardi.
Absolutely. Michael, great stuff as always. The new GM at UNC. Don't go anywhere. The Lombardi line is done for the day, but a numbers game is next. Scott Seidenberg is going to be filling in for Gill with Kelly Bidwin. Zach Cohen's going to break down the college football best bets. That's next here on VEASAN.